Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
Welcome to the program, everyone. I am Shoddy, and along beside me is Slim, not Shady, not Jesus, just Slim. And the reason I say this is because I don't want you to get sued over copyright infringement, Slim. I really don't. But anyway, welcome to an earful in Emerald City. Today we're going to be talking about how the national commentators are biased against our Seahawks, Starbucks cups, how people feel about the holidays, and much more. But Slim, how was your weekend?
Well, it was so nice. It almost felt like a holiday.
Seriously.
It was when I just thought it couldn't get any more boring. It took a turn for the crazy today. All right, it was an interesting weekend. I've been working this new job. I'm doing product demos for a little company called William Sonoma, one that I didn't even know of before I started working this job. So definitely out of my price range. But it was a kind of a slow weekend until today. It was, first off, there was dogs galore. White women with their dogs, all sizes, big,
they're
small,
lucky I wasn't there.
Medium, bringing the dogs in. So the service dogs, air quotes, their service dogs. I mean, some of them, they probably would call themselves service dogs, but they weren't even wearing the little goddamn red vest or whatever it is. And that to me is just bullshit. Okay?
It's a rent-a-service dog. That's what it is.
If that dog's going to be allowed inside, he better at least be humiliated by having to wear one of those jackets if he's going to be inside with all the humans, all right? At the minimum, that dog needs to be humiliated. I don't care if it's a winter sweater, whatever you want to put on that thing. You better put some fucking stupid article of clothing on that dog, all right? Tons of those in there. And it's like you don't know whether to pet him or not. You want to say hi, and it's just too much of an issue, but...
You pet a motherfucker, I'm working. Oh, motherfucker, I'm working. Why are you petting me for?
Yeah, don't touch me. I don't come to your job and not the mop out of your hand while you're working. Actually, today it was a frying pan handle, but same thing, I suppose.
You know what I notice about service dogs? They're fucking dicks. Like they are, like... I don't know if they're trained to be assholes, but they're, like... My experience with service dogs, they're fucking... They're dicks. They're assholes. Like, have you had the same experience?
Well, the problem is they got a bad attitude. They're down. They're mopey. You know, a lot of them are like Eeyore wandering around. They have no enthusiasm, no nothing. That's my issue with them.
I have to smell when my master's blood gets high.
It's like they're furry slaves, you know? they're forced against their will to
live
a dull and unmeaningful life.
This is true. It's like a fucking canine, like canines, like when they retire, like they're like, what the fuck do I do? I like for the majority of my life, all I've done is bite people's asses, and now they retire me. What the fuck am I supposed to do? Like how am I supposed to be accepted into society?
Yeah, dogs aren't about doing chores and running errands. All right, they're about chasing that fucking ball. Throw that goddamn ball for me. I'll go get it. You'll bring it back. We'll do it again. All right? We'll do it again. That's what dogs want. They don't want to walk around William Sonoma all mopey and help you pick out some kitchenette equipment. But also, another thing I saw that they had an abundance of in there was good-looking Asian girls. So this was definitely something up my alley. I'm down there at the U Village, and I tell you, those Asian women, they're going to school, they're getting their degrees, they're making it happen. We've talked about this before. Two themes that we've spoken about. So if you're a first time listener today, these will get used to hearing about these, because these are some reoccurring themes.
Time out. Are you just there looking for a fucking sugar mama? You mentioned they're down there getting their degrees. Are you just there looking for a sugar mama?
You know, I am currently taking applications.
Oh, my goodness.
For sponsors, female sponsors.
Oh, my gosh.
ladies, like I said, William Sonoma. I'm there on the weekends. All right, come check it out if you want. But no, it was there was the dogs, there was the Asians, and then we got to the best part of the day, the crazies. The crazies. I thought I got this job at William Sonoma. I thought a place that I can't even afford to shop at. The one thing I thought I wasn't gonna have to deal with was crazies and poor people. All right, and I was grossly wrong.
How did you know who was poor? Like they just look at someone and they're like, "Oh, this motherfucker's got no money."
Well, she was in U Village, and when she ended up leaving this old hag, when she ended up leaving, she was pushing her shopping cart. And
I don't think she's fucking poor.
I don't think when you go to the Apple store or the Microsoft store that you need a shopping cart there. I don't even think they have those.
No, I don't think they have shopping carts at Microsoft or Apple.
They were cooking this turkey, and that's what she was there for. She wanted to get down on some turkey action. There was like a class right before I showed up, started flipping pancakes, and she kept asking me. She's hanging out in my area. Like, the cooktop at the restaurant or at the store is right up front in the entrance, and she kept asking me, "So what is the deal with the turkey? What have you checked the temperature yet? What do you said that you would speak to another employee about it, but what do you actually intend to do to rectify this problem?" I mean, I almost thought I was getting secret shop for a minute. The lady almost made me snap multiple times, just asking ridiculous questions. She asked me where these pans are made. I said in China. She asked me the name of the city. Oh, what city in China? Oh, what, do you have relatives that live there? Who fucking cares? What city? Get out of here, crazy. You're not going to buy anything. All right, get out of my face. You're really ruining this for everybody. And she ended up harassing the employees so much that they ended up calling the police. They ended up calling the police.
Are you serious? They called 5-0?
And the sheriff showed up. The sheriff showed up and had to escort her out. She was harassing the people. Apparently, she's a regular there, and they have to deal with this all the time. She was loving the pancakes I was cooking, so I got to give her some points for that. But, wow, she took a pretty slow weekend for me and definitely sped it up in the last few hours of it. That was kind of an interesting experience, but... No, crazy weekend. So what's going on? What's up with you, man?
I had the perfect fucking week for fantasy football. And for all our listeners that do fantasy football, man, like, let me tell you about this team I fucking assembled for this week. Man, I had Tom Brady was my quarterback. Got me 17 points. Yes, the one with the deflated balls. Yes, him. I picked up D'Angelo Williams because we all know the Steelers starting running back, Le'Veon Bell, he's out for the season. So I picked up D'Angelo Williams, and he goes fucking ape shit, gets me 36 points. And for everyone that does fantasy football.
That was not a racist comment there.
But, how's that racist?
Well, you didn't call the man an ape, you know.
Fuck you, man. See,
no,
see,
I was not racist.
This is exactly what I'm talking about, man. This is exact. Man, see, now if I said Tom Brady went cracker shit crazy, like, oh, that's not racist.
We might have to coin that one, actually.
Cracker shit.
That was some cracker shit crazy he was pulling right there.
Tom Brady went cracker shit crazy. No, he really did. He only got me 17. He was projected 21. But no, D'Angelo Williams went ape shit and got me 36 points. Todd Gurley got me 16, and that's his worst game of the season. This guy, Todd, special. Yeah, way to go. Michael Crabtree, Wreck'em Tech, Texas Tech alumni, got me 22 points. Antonio Brown also went ape shit. Fucking 17 catches for 284 yards.
Damn.
Yeah.
Fucking
28 points. Martavis Bryant was my flex. He got me 9 points. Matt Bryant, the Atlanta kicker, got me 11. And the only letdown was I started the Packers defense because I thought that they would play pissed off from getting embarrassed by 6-year-old Peyton Manning last week, and they didn't. They let Cam Newton and the Panthers just wreck shop on them. And the Packers defense got me -4.
Yikes.
They got me -4. But all of that got me 135 points in all, and I still have Antonio Gates, my tight end, to play on Monday Night Football for this week. So, and he's projected to score at least 9 points. So I had a really good week in this league in fantasy football. I'm in four leagues, but I mean, I am so proud with the team I assembled, and I traded players. I did probably the biggest blockbuster trade. I traded Carson Palmer, Steve Smith, and Dez Bryant for Tom Brady, and the person accepted it. So
wow,
yeah, that was pretty cool.
Master negotiator over here.
Yeah, man. You know, people say I should sell cars, and if I wasn't doing what I was doing, people think I should sell cars because I'm a real persuasive person.
Yeah,
and you know I can.
Used appliances.
And, you know, when I was single, I can,
many things.
I can persuade almost any white woman to get in bed with me.
Oh, shit.
I'm kidding. But
yeah, nice weekend on the fantasy, though.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he was just playing for fun. He wasn't playing on DraftKings. DraftKings.com. No. Pick your players.
Why are you kidding?
Pick your players.
Why?
It's not gambling, folks, all right? It's skill-based, all right? Millions at stake.
Why
millions
are you,
to win.
Why are you giving DraftKings a
DraftKings.
Free fucking
com.
Ad? Oh, my gosh.
With the way these guys are throwing out ad dollars these days, I figure we'll just tell them we've been running
why
it.
Why are you giving
we'll
these motherfuckers a free spot?
They're spending hundreds of millions on ads, all
oh
right? I'm sure we can just get lost in the mix somewhere there.
Jesus.
At least peel a 20 or two off the guys. God damn.
You are giving these guys a...
DraftKings.com. It's skill-based, people. All right?
My goodness. Wow. I'm pretty disappointed at you.
Yeah? As disappointed as you are at these announcers?
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of football, there was a Seahawks fan who started a petition... Sorry, I've been drinking. A petition... to ban Fox commentator Joe Buck and Troy Aikman from commentating any Seahawks games that are nationally televised. He thinks that they're biased against the Seahawks. And for example, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, they're notorious for not giving the Seahawks the benefit of a doubt. I mean, the benefit for when they win a game they're not supposed to win. For example, today, the Redskins and the Patriots played this week. And, you know, of course the Patriots won, and of course they're a heavily favorite. But let's say if the Redskins, you know, they pulled off an upset, national commentators are notorious for saying that the Patriots had a bad game. They will not give credit to the Redskins, you know. And, you know, I think a petition's going a little bit too far. I don't think that.
Are you sure we don't need to take more legal action on this one?
I think a petition's a little bit too far, but I agree. I mean, you know, I want to smack Joe Buck sometimes. He's a little annoying. Not as annoying. And you know, I can stomach Troy Aikman. Because he's not like Emmitt Smith, he's not like Michael Irvin, you know. I feel like that Jerry Jones, because the Cowboys are, and I hate to say it, they were the team of the '90s in NFL. They ran the fucking '90s, and Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith, you know, they have the hugest fucking ego years later after they play, and I don't feel like Troy Aikman's really like that, and when he calls Cowboys games, he tells it like it is, whether Cowboy fans like it or not.
Emmitt Smith has a big ego because that motherfucker won Dancing with the Stars, all right? And he deserves that shit. All right, give him his due. That guy has it. But I agree with you. They are biased. But I'm going to take the other side on this one, and I'm going to say that they're biased in favor of the Hawks. And you want to know why? It's because we've actually showed up to the fucking games the last few years here, all right? This is a perfect example of your reputation and how important it is to how people perceive you and how people, what they think you're capable of and what you're not capable of, all right? You use Tom Brady and the Patriots as an example, and you say, well, they don't give any credit. every team can go out there and get a game won.
It's any given Sunday.
It is. Anybody can show up and play good and beat any team. But when you're the Patriots and you have the dynasty that they're working on, as much as I don't like to say that, so especially since they beat us last year, but when you have the dynasty that they're working on, the people expect of you to beat shitty teams. That's what they expect, and that's because that's your reputation. And that's a good thing because you have built that reputation and people give you the benefit of the doubt before you even show up to play. And that's, and in my opinion, you deserve that. If you have a proven track record, you do your shit, you fucking take care of business out there on the field, and you keep getting it done regardless of what the haters say about you, how much you deflated the balls, how you were spying, whatever the fuck it is. You go out there and you get it done, and that's why you got to defend your reputation to the death. And finally, the Seahawks have a decent reputation now with these announcers, and I think more or less they're giving us the benefit of the doubt, even at times when we go out there and we play like a sack of shit.
Well, we have a fan. We have a fan that...
Just one.
Well, yeah, just one. We have a fan that responded to one of our Facebook questions, and the Facebook question was, do you agree that Fox commentators Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are biased against the Seahawks? And Becky from Bellevue responded saying, yes, indeed. They are biased against Seattle and has been going on for decades. A good analyst should describe the game without revealing who they want to win. Troy Aikman clearly played for Dallas and refuses to face the fact that nobody outside of Dallas and Fort Worth could care less about the Cowboys. The gentleman on Fox may not be Seattle's biggest fans, but they offer the kind of balanced, informed commentary that is expected of a superior commentator. The only way to watch a national game when the Seahawks are playing is to mute the television and turn on the local coverage.
Not a bad idea, actually. Not a bad idea. No, I'm okay with Buck. Troy can be a little dull. He gets it done, I guess. I think Joe is pretty well-tempered from what you need from him most of the time. He'll get a little excited when need be, but they're all going to have a little bias, people. I mean, they're humans. That's just what it happens. The guy played for Dallas. He made his career there. You got to kind of think that he's maybe going to have a little bit of favoritism towards them. And can you really blame him for that?
He's not as bad as Chris Collinsworth. I can't stand that son of a bitch.
Yeah, talk about sliding into the Golden Throne after Matt. You're following up John Madden, all right? The guy, boom, boom, you know? You're following up this guy. I mean, as long as you don't have a seizure while the game's going, you're looking okay as far as beating those shoes that you need to fill.
Time out. I like John Madden. I miss, you know, my favorite national commentator duo of all time was John Madden and Pat Summerall. And, you know, well, you go here, Pat. You know, you circle this right here, and then, boom, tough acting, ten acting. And Pat's like, thank you, John.
you never know what he's talking. I mean, he just throws random crazy shit out there, but he gives guys like me hope that maybe there's bigger gigs out there for me if a guy like Madden can slip through the cracks. I saw a picture on Twitter, actually, of Madden as a coach. This was probably in the late 80s. I think it was the Raiders, I believe, is what
he was
coaching for.
Yes, he coached for the Raiders.
Guy's lighting up a fucking heater on the sidelines, smoking a cig. I'm guessing the defense probably just gave up a score. So that, you know, it's probably a specific moment. He probably just doesn't smoke the cigarettes whenever he feels. But I thought that was pretty funny. You're definitely not going to see that shit these days. And back then when he was doing it, he was probably sponsored by Newport. And when he was sparking them up, they were probably paying him. Oh, man. Well, so it's almost holiday season here. It's about that time. You know, I was working at the mall today. I was out seeing all the people. It's starting to ramp up. It's still the early birds, but people are definitely on it more. Let me ask you, man, what's your take on the holidays here? How do you feel about this part of the year? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
Fucking depressing. Makes me want to shoot myself or jump off
what?
A fucking bridge.
Makes you want to
No, I'm Come kidding. On. No, why, no. Why is that? I'm kidding. No.
What's your take on all this?
No,
is it just madness, or are we actually doing this for a good reason?
Well, it could be. Well, it could be madness, but no, this is my favorite time of the year, and I'm gonna be on the real. Like, I'm so excited to be living in this area during the holidays. I feel like, you know, whether you like small towns or you're a city type of person, nothing beats the holidays in a city. I'm really excited to see the decorations, the lights here and in the greater Seattle area in the next few weeks. I'm pretty sure they're going to start putting them up after Thanksgiving, and I'm really excited to see what they have to offer. I heard that the Bellevue Mall in downtown Bellevue, they have Bellevue Square, they have fake snow that comes down. Is that true?
I think they've done that before. They're pretty highfalutin over there at the Bellevue Mall, so that wouldn't surprise me. They've done something crazy like that. That is one thing that I can actually give local municipalities some well-deserved credit for, is their holiday lighting programs. All right, their transportation is terrible, but
yeah,
the Christmas lights, hey, they're nailing it, guys. They got it figured out. Priorities all set in a row here. They do some good lights, though, and actually, it's going to be old Shoddy's first Christmas in Seattle here.
Yeah, man. I'm
oh, pretty, man. We're going to have to write that on your stocking or something.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll be allowed in Bellevue Square, man. I mean, I get where it looks already when I go up there in my hoodie and just jeans and my Jordans, man. I get where I'm like, who the fuck is this guy, man? Take your ass back to Ritten.
He's never seen goddamn. This guy's probably never seen fake snow.
I know. Well, I lived in Texas for 18 years. No, seriously, man. Like they have ice on the ground. We're canceling school. Inch of snow, canceling school. Does this area get a lot of snow?
Not the last few years. We usually have a spatter or two each winter season. Last few years have been pretty slow, though. They don't mess around, though. If there's any snow on the ground, they're usually shutting it down.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's like that up here too?
Yeah.
Like, even it's like an inch?
They've got more trucks on the road now. They got more plows out there, so they're better equipped to handle bad situations. It really depends on how well groomed the roads are. But they won't hesitate, though, especially if it's been a slow year and they haven't had to call anybody off. I mean, I went to Chicago at one point. I was doing some work where I was traveling around the country.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a few of the moms. I was working at a Costco, and I was talking to a couple of moms that worked there. And they were talking about how it had been snowing for like 2 or 3 weeks straight, just feet of snow, crazy. And it got so bad that they actually did have to close school down. And the mom was talking about it like it was a huge pain in her fucking ass, and that it was a hassle that she didn't want to deal with. She wanted the schools open when there was like 2 or 3 feet of snow on the ground. It was so insane. Like, she's like, now I got to figure all this stuff out. It was just a complete opposite view on this natural phenomenon that obviously they have to deal with a lot more than we do.
She probably has some badass kids that she didn't want to deal with.
Well, no question about that. I mean, they're from the Shy City. Come on. I think we're
close
to the South Side too.
Man, you're stereotyping them like that?
That's a rough area, I tell you. That's a rough one.
Yeah. Yeah. But back to the holidays, it can be the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time.
Don't you ever fucking do that again, please.
That's the song you hear all season long. It's the only thing I can hear.
What's your favorite holiday song?
That's the one I just think of every time. You're in a parking lot and you can't move. There's people pulling out around you. You've been driving around for 20 minutes looking for a parking spot. That's the one song that always just comes into my head.
You know what mine is? I have a couple. Jingle My Balls and These Nuts Roasting on a Open Fire.
Is that by Too Short or Eazy-E?
One of them is by Snoop Dogg, I think.
Oh, okay. I was close. Come on. I was close. I was going West Coast at least.
Yeah. But anyway, it's the most wonderful time of the year for a lot of people. But then these are the times, unfortunately, where some people feel alone. Not everyone has a big family, or you can be like me the last couple of years, where I live in towns where I don't have any family, and my Christmas dinner is at Denny's.
You know what pisses me off about that? When I've had Christmas lunch slash dinner at Denny's on Christmas in 2008, 2010, 2013, and the town I was living in last year didn't have a Denny's. That's how fucking small it was. But you know what pisses me off about Denny's? They have a special Christmas menu. Like, it's not the full menu. Like, I want my fucking omelet skillet. That's all I want. It's not on the fucking Christmas menu. It pisses me off. And that's what ruins my fucking Christmas every time when I go to fucking Denny's for fucking Christmas lunch and dinner. I can't get my fucking omelet skillet. I'm like, can I substitute my omelet skillet? No, you have to get what's on the fucking Christmas menu. It pisses me off.
The don't do requests. That's the name of the game for Christmas, is doing requests. You get your wish list. You get all the things you want on there.
Yeah, it's fucking Christmas, okay? I should be able to get whatever the fuck I want. All I want for you is to make a fucking omelet skillet for me, okay? I know it's on the regular menu, but it's Christmas, goddammit! Jesus!
They don't have any of that Christmas ham, though, you know? They got the just regular...
Not like I'm asking for fucking ham. Chicken and waffles. I want a fucking omelet skillet. God damn it. I know this ain't Roscoe's, all right? This is fucking Denny's. No, I mean, I'm getting really America's heated up diner. About this, okay? This is why I don't really go to fucking Denny's anymore, okay? Because it's fucking bullshit, okay? All I want is a fucking omelet skillet. A fucking omelet skillet, okay? And it's not on the Christmas menu. Oh, you have to get what's on the... Bullshit! I'm paying you good fucking money that I make. God. That's what ruins my Christmas, okay? All right? You know, but because between after Thanksgiving to December 24th, I'm having a great time. And when I have to go to fucking Denny's for dinner or for fucking Christmas lunch, they can't give me my goddamn omelet skillet. And that just fucking ruins it.
Don't get him started on Moons Over My Hammy, all right, people? You don't want that. He could go on like this all night long. Lionel Richie status. Denny's, that is America's Diner, though.
How do you feel about the holidays? Do you have a big family?
I got a small family.
Really?
We're dying off rapidly. The Berg Burgers line.
Sorry to hear that.
Dying off, going crazy. Menopause, all those things, you name it. We're struggling with all of it. But the holidays, for me, it's a double-edged sword. There's a lot of good stuff that goes on, but there's just so much over-the-top materialism and craziness and whatever's right for the kids. And I think we just get lost and forget about what's actually important. I mean, seeing people that you really care about and that you consider your family and friends is good, but going to the mall to buy gifts fucking sucks. It sucks way worse. And it's just like, what are we doing? Is this how I show you how much you care about me, by almost going insane and wanting to make myself go crazy, sitting in the parking lot of Alderwood Mall for 45 minutes, just looking for a spot? And it just doesn't make sense. And it feels like we do it all for the kids, you know, for the kids. It's great for the kids. They love it. The kids, my nieces and nephews, they get so many fucking gifts every year. They don't even give a shit about them. Who can rip through every single one and get to the end faster? It's like a competition. That's all it is. Who can unwrap all their gifts? And by the time they get to the last one, they don't give a fuck what that first one was. They don't give a shit. They probably don't even remember what it was. And what's the message we're sending here to them? It's just, I don't get it. It's so silly. And you got Black Friday. You got people camping out. Gosh. Some guy this year, he's setting the record. He's camping out for 24 or 25 days, which, what are you trying to prove here?
Here, like, in Washington?
Somewhere. No, I don't think it's in Washington. I think it's maybe Florida or something. That sounds kind of Florida-esque.
Yeah.
But he wants to set the record, and he's camping out 25 days. What are you trying to prove here? That you can adapt and be a homeless person? I mean,
is he camping out with his trailer?
No, he's got a tent. He's got a tent out front of Best Buy. A goddamn tent out front of Best Buy. I mean,
unbelievable.
What are you doing here, man? What are you trying to prove, huh? It's like, the guy must be a hipster. I mean, you trying to do camp out in front of stores before it was cool? What the fuck, man? What are you proving here? You got people getting trampled. A couple people die every year on Black Friday. I mean, people just act like animals just for the sake of a good deal. I feel like it's so skewed and the message is so wrong here and we've pretty much blown it. So might as well just call it a wrap and move on to something else that's maybe more non-denominational. I don't fucking know.
3 years ago when I used to work for a retail store, I'm not going to say what it was, but I worked for a big chain retail store. And they opened on Thanksgiving night. They opened at 8 o'clock on Thanksgiving, and I was crowd control. And what that meant was I was in charge of making sure that basically no one got out of hand when everyone would come in the store and in line. And I remember there were of course all the cash registers were open, and there was a line like almost to the back of the store, and I had to break up a fight, a verbal argument between these two middle-aged women, because one of them said she cut me. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, and I'm 24 at the time, and these women were double my age, and they are arguing. They're arguing like two first graders. He cut me. Are you serious? Like this is Black Friday is supposed to be, in my opinion, Black Friday was always the kickoff to the holiday season. But we got people pulling off bullshit like this. Like it's the kickoff to the most wonderful time of the year, and you're bitching about someone cutting you in line.
Just can't act like adults anymore. I was handing out samples of these pancakes I was selling or making today. And a couple people would ask me, do you have I cut them into just little quarters,
yeah.
little wedges. And people would ask me, do you have a fork? Do you have something I could pick these up with? I said, no, just dig into there. That's fine. Just go for it. Grab one. They go, oh, no, I can't. No, that wouldn't really be sanitary. It wouldn't be. You can't just touch the one piece that you're going to take and sample and eat that? Are you a fucking child? You don't have to touch every single one. Just grab the one that you want to take and go on with your day. I mean, aren't we fucking adults here? You can't touch one of the pieces, only one. You got to touch every single one. Jesus Christ, just fucking do it. You're not going to die. You're not going to get some disease from actually touching a piece of food that you ate. People just can't even act like adults. And that's the thing. It's once again, we've just proven that we can take a good thing and give us enough time and we'll definitely fuck it up and make it more of a hassle than anything.
Unfortunately, and I see this a lot since, you know, I'm an adult now.
He's all grown up.
Yeah. Thanks. This is a time when we really see how adults are, how mature they are, and you know, are we really sending the right message to our children or the children out there? I don't have any kids that I know of, but shut up. I haven't been on Mari yet, keyword yet, but but I mean, well, what message are we sending to our children? Because this is shit that they pull in elementary school, and you're pulling this in front of them, like. Seriously, grow up. Don't bitch about someone cutting you in line. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows that there's no cuts, no butts, or no coconuts. All right. We all learned that a long time ago, people.
So oh, there are going to be butts in my line.
Always remember that. keep those words in mind.
There are going to be butts in my line all day.
So what about, okay, so did you see, what's up with Starbucks now? They got these red cups. What's the deal with that? That's some holiday shit too, I'm sure. What's up? Did you look into that?
They are trying to be, I don't know if they're trying to be PC or they're like, look, not everyone celebrates Christmas, which I understand. So they just have red cups with nothing on them. Not Christmas, not Christmas decorations, not, you know, nothing, not snowflakes, not snowmen, nothing. It's just red. And, you know, they want to celebrate just the holidays. They want to include everyone, which I understand. So how do you feel about it?
It's actually funny that you brought this up. Because, well, technically I brought it up. I mean, if we're going to be honest here.
This motherfucker wants to get credit, obviously.
I tried to jack it there. I saw a lot of these today, though, at the mall. Almost as many as dogs inside the store. There was a kid with his mom, and she had a red cup, and he was like a five-year-old, maybe six, sitting in a stroller, maybe not even six. And he had his own little fucking red cup too. It's just like the consumerism. Like, you gotta have your stuff every single day, back and always coffee. Oh god, I start my day coffee. And a lot of these people are walking around. It's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But I don't really give a shit. You know, you got the red cup. Oh, I'm sure it's non-denominational, gender neutral. You know, LGBT friendly, you know, I'm sure it's great. I bet it works out well for everybody. Hopefully this whole red cup thing works out almost as good as Starbucks' little hashtag race together campaign worked out for them. God, that thing was over before it even started. Fucking A. I mean, what are you guys thinking here?
You know, this red cup thing could catch on, especially to the college crowd. Because what did they use? Stereotypically, what are red cups used at for college students?
Oh man, are you kidding me? Flying solo.
Yeah.
Solo. Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's where they got the idea from.
Yeah, no, hey, that's who they're trying to fucking sell to, college students. Mm. You see?
New market they haven't tapped into yet.
They're not mentioning, but I was down in
New Village. Goddamn, oh man, conspiracy theories start flying.
Fuck man, we gotta hit a frat row here in the next couple weeks, man. Fucking Starbucks Pong.
Oh god. Jesus Christ. Somebody's done it.
I bet. But no, there are a lot there are conservative Christians who are obviously upset about that. That they are not including Christmas.
It's the war on Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas is under attack.
Give me a fucking break, Slim.
It's the third most important war going on in this country, actually.
Third, what are the top two?
Third, well, you got the war on drugs, the failed war on drugs.
There shouldn't be no war on drugs. And then you got the war. Everyone needs drugs.
And then you got the war against women, you know? They're only making 78 cents to a man's dollar. They're under attack. Or at least that's what Nancy Grace told me the other day. I don't watch it all the time, but she made some very good points.
Nancy Grace.
My mom eats that shit up.
Really?
It's like, this is not news, okay? This is one crazy dude who killed his wife in some backcountry state. It doesn't fucking matter, all right? And she's just putting this guy on blast. This is not news. This affects nobody's life but the two people that are being covered in this fucking story. I don't know where that came from,
they are extremely pissed that Starbucks is not including they're not including Christmas on there. But you know what? Excuse me if I get carried away. It seems to me that the same conservative Christians who are pissed off about this. And we were talking about this earlier, what happened at the University of Missouri with the football players the African American football players on the Missouri Tiger team. They are they are basically strike. They're basically on a strike until the president of the school publicly. Until he addresses what is going about the racist actions that are going on at the school. You know, for instance, there was a what's the name of the Nazi flag? It starts with a fuck.
The swastika?
Yes, there was a swastika flag. There was a swastika flag with that was hung up covered in feces. I think. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and I mean that's pretty hardcore. I've gone through some racist shit throughout my life because look where I grew up, but that's pretty extreme. But anyway, that was one of the events, and I went on I always want to get other people's point of views, even if they're conservatives, because God, conservatives piss me off, you know. But I went on Glenn Beck's website, The Blaze, because he had an article.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. I can't stand that guy either. And he had an article about that, and I saw people's comments on it. And oh my gosh, people should pull their scholarships. They're on scholarships. How can they do this? They should just go back to playing. You know, you don't see the white players doing this. And I'm just like, how can you not think about what they're going through? You're basically telling him, shut up and deal with it. What does that remind you of? 50 fucking years ago, man. I was on that page for like 30, like not like 5 seconds, and I got off. Like that really pissed me off, man. Like how fucking narrow-minded can you be? You know, and when I don't get it. Like white folks, they hate to talk about racism. You know, the conservative white folks. I'm sorry, because I live in Seattle, and you know there are white people here that are for the Black Lives Matter movement. But you know, conservative white folks, like their goal to erase racism is not talk about it. You know, and I'm just like, no, you know, the way that we're going to solve it is we got to talk about it and we got to find a solution. And just to tell these young men to just shut up and deal with it, it's not the fucking answer. You know, but I'm sorry. The point I was getting to is how can you be upset with these boys for what they're doing, you know, but be upset with what Starbucks is doing, you know.
They like to play both sides of the coin, you know.
Yeah, it's a fucking cup, goddammit. It's a goddamn cup. Okay, I think their issue, you know, it's a little bit more important than yours. It's a goddamn cup, okay. If you don't support Starbucks, don't fucking spend your money there, okay? Don't fucking spend your money there, okay? I'm still gonna spend my money there. It's good coffee, and I love the Toasted Graham Latte, okay? Okay, but these young men have to go to school there, okay? Okay, they have to represent the school. But if the person who's the president if he's not taking action on what's going on publicly, you know, then yeah, I'd be pissed off too, and I'd be there, you know, not playing with them.
Maybe a hunger strike.
Maybe.
That would probably wouldn't last long. This is, you know, in my opinion, red cup, white cup. Doesn't fucking matter. Goddamn coffee addicts, every single one of you listening to this right now. I know you are. You fucking addicts. But what else is up, man? What else is up? Oh, dude, did you hear about the Red Planet
Mars?
Our little neighbor, Mars.
Oh, shit, man. You were talking to me about that.
Yeah, NASA just released some new stuff on it recently, actually. They're saying that at one point in the past, who knows how near past, but at one point in the past, that Mars actually had an atmosphere and that it was chipped away by solar winds. Pretty crazy stuff. I heard, too, that they possibly had found water. So who knows? Maybe before the atmosphere got chipped away, there might have been some kind of life on Mars. It might have been some Planet of the Apes shit, and that's how we all got started here and where we came from.
Actually, I was hoping for a planet full of white women.
Ooh. now we're talking.
Planet full of white women that love chocolate.
Now we're talking, yeah. So spoiler alert for all those Matt Damon lovers out there. It's fucked, all right? It's not going to happen. Nothing's growing over there, all right? It's not going to happen. Get it? It never would happen. So fucking quit thinking about it and be done with it. But it's pretty crazy, though. How long do you think, man, till somebody walks on Mars? I mean, with Elon Musk and Richard Branson and all these motherfuckers at it, you know they got to be on the verge of something here.
A few years. I mean, with the way how technology is rapidly progressing and advancing, maybe here in the next 3 to 5 years, hopefully.
3 to 5 years, wow. So you're pretty optimistic here.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so what happens first? Somebody, a human being walks on Mars, or pot is nationally legalized?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
This is the first segment of many ongoing segments here on Earful in the Emerald City. Which crazy, ridiculous scenario would happen first?
I don't know. Ohio fucked that up.
Making a step forward
to legalizing pot nationally. But I would say, I mean, I would hope pot gets nationally legalized.
Maybe that's
first, but I don't see it. You know, I don't see it happening. You know, there's still people out there that think that, you know, pot's a devil. You know, and you know they don't see it. They don't see the positives for it. You know, it's you know, they can stay in their little fucking bubble. But
I got a theory here. I'm going to go ahead and say, although it's going to be close, it's going to be tight, but I'm going to say legal pot is first to get done here. And you want to know why? If you're going to travel the 6, 7, 8, I don't know exactly how long, maybe even 9 months it's going to take to get your ass to Mars on a spaceship, you better bring a lot of fucking weed with you, all right? And that shit better be legal if you're going to be working for a government entity. So that right there is why I'm saying legal pot happens first. That is what man needs to get us to the red planet, is something to occupy our mind for fucking 7 months straight while we sit in a goddamn space shuttle. Are you fucking kidding me? I have a 400-square-foot one-bedroom apartment, and I go crazy almost after a week in this fucking thing. It's gonna happen, though, folks. They're gonna be tied. There's gonna be an intergalactical enlightening, and it's gonna be brought to us by legalized pot. But I'm glad they shot that shit down in Ohio. That was a fucking joke, man. They had 10 distributors set up. It was gonna be a monopoly of 10 distributors. They already had their land set up. They already had their equipment set up. These guys were ready to fucking go and control the market and probably charge a fucking arm and a leg for a goddamn bag of weed, which would have been a crime, in my opinion. And so I'm glad the people of Ohio shot that shit down, because
there'll
be another shot at it. They'll get another bill. It'll be written better. And, you know, I'm going to make a prediction right now, guys. You heard it here. You heard it here on Earful in the Emerald City first by one and only Slim, your guy here. Marijuana will be nationally legalized, or at least decriminalized, by 2021.
Whoa, that long? What? That's
2021. That long? It's almost 16, man.
That's
half a decade.
That's half a decade.
That's nothing, dude.
I say three.
That's a blink of an eye. Three.
You want to make a bet?
Oh, my God.
You want to make a bet? I call 3 years.
Wow. Okay. So,
if I love him to death, but I think it's still a long shot for him to at least win the Democrat nomination. But if Bernie Sanders gets the Democrat nomination, and if he for some reason beats whoever's running for Republicans, fuck, I'm thinking 3 years that we can get. But that's a big fucking if.
That's a huge if.
That's a big if, man. I'm surprised he hasn't backed out from you know Hillary yet.
it's not going to be a slam dunk for him. I mean, he's expressed that he's for legalizing it, but it's not going to be a slam dunk. And it comes back to those people you were talking about, those old conservatives from the Grand Old Party. They're going to put up a lot of opposition to this one.
Marijuana's the devil.
Yeah, exactly. The devil's lettuce. All right, that's what they would call it. You're going to have a little salad made with the devil's finest ingredients. But they're the ones that they're going to slow this process. So I like your optimism, and yeah, I'm going to take the over on 4.5 years. All right, we'll hash out the terms of this bet after the show. But you know, I'm thinking it's going to have to be some kind of dare. Maybe we'll get the audience to include ourselves here. But I hope you're right, big guy. You know me. I mean, I hope you get me on this one. So,
how much weed do you need again if you got picked to go to Mars?
Let's see, it's going to be about 7 or 8 month trip. I mean, you're stuck on a spaceship. What, you can't go outside. Okay, you can't ride a bike. You can't go for a walk. You can't take a jog.
You can beat your meat.
You're going to be fucking... Yeah, but you're with other people there. It's going to get a little awkward. I mean, you probably sneak a few in here and there, but you can't be doing it the whole time. You're going to need to be just loading, roasting bowl after bowl after bowl just to pass the time. Just to pass the time through deep space. I'd say, as an individual, I'd need at least 3 ounces just to be safe. I mean, and you know, you need some rations while you're on the planet too. So maybe 3 might not even cut it. I mean, who knows when the return flight is? You might never be able to hit up your local drug dealer and get a re-up. All right, this might be the last time ever. So 3 at the minimum. But it's gonna happen though. They'll make the technology. They'll be an intergalactical enlightening brought to you by Mary Jane.
Mark the red words. Planet slowly turns green.
Oh, bring the atmosphere back. The atmosphere for a good time, man.
No, if you want a good time, go to the Horseshoe Pub's men's restroom. There's a lot of numbers on the wall. If you want a good time, trust me. You may see Slim's phone number on there.
Oh my god! I had my first gay encounter this weekend. I didn't even
know. Oh, what?
This. Yeah, this was crazy. I was at the gym on Saturday. I was passing some time. Went there, you know, lifted some weights, and then I usually like to hit the hot tub afterwards. It's good on the joints. Feels good, you know, you kind of relax for a few minutes. But I went in, and this middle-aged dude was in there, and he just started talking with me. And it was so weird, like it was like really unnatural, his lead-in that got the conversation going. It was really unnatural, but it didn't matter. He just ran with it. He kept going. Guy was just chatting my ear off about the superintendent of some school, how to keep the weight off. Oh, when you get my age, oh gee, it doesn't matter what you do. It just, you just can't do anything to get it off. And I'm just like, oh yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy, man. I end up leaving. He's still sitting out by the hot tub. I come in the shower and, you know, things got a little bit awkward. So I'm already kind of on edge a little bit uneasy. So I'm in the shower and
did you hear some banjos, some bangos?
I was in the shower telling myself, all right, quick shower, you know, get it done. When I'm at the gym, a standard shower is 2 minutes and 45 seconds for me. Okay. 2 minutes and 45 seconds is a standard shower. I was prepared to cut this bitch down to a minute and a half. I was solid. All right. Hair washed, armpits covered. As I'm in there, all of a sudden he comes in and, excuse me, sir, excuse me, Sir? Sir, that was just at the hot tub? I panicked. I froze for a minute. I didn't know whether to respond or to not say anything. And then finally I just said, yeah, in a very whimpering voice, which, you know, honestly wasn't a good idea. That might have been my demise if I was unlucky. But he's telling me that another woman that was out there left her keys on the towel. And so he's fucking coming into the locker room trying to find if it's my towel. I said, yeah, no, I jingled it and everything. There's no sound. There's no fucking key on here. Guy probably made up the goddamn story. He was probably just, he timed it perfect. He came in about 30 seconds after me. I knew the guy would be chasing my ass. It's like, Jesus, I have more compassion for women and what you guys put up with on a daily basis now. But after having experienced that, fucking, some of these guys are just relentless, just throwing it out there and spinning it like a fucking helicopter, putting it on display. God damn. It doesn't matter what they're looking for. That was crazy though. I consider myself a wildly mediocrely handsome white guy, but, and that was a first for me. So, yeah, still a little shocked, about the whole deal.
Or you weren't traumatized, were you?
I wouldn't quite go that far, but I was a little fearful when he was in the shower room with me. Luckily, they have the thin plastic that kind of covers you up there a little bit. Still very nerve-wracking. I mean, he was asking me about weight loss, so he was a bigger guy. You know, I'm slim, Ooh. Obviously, and he had some pounds on me. He wasn't taller than me, but he had some pounds on me. And you never know when they got that grown man strength. All right, that shit is deceiving.
Yes,
and I have not got there yet. I'm 30 years old.
No, it's fucking true. And no,
still have not hit the grown man strength.
No, it grown man strength. It is not a fucking myth. It is true.
And it's deceiving. You don't know who's got it and who doesn't.
How old did he look?
He was probably in his early 50s. He had
had
the salt and pepper at the temple. So,
oh man!
Again, I don't know what he's capable of. All right, I played it safe. I snuck out of there as quick as I can. I was constantly looking over my shoulder. Luckily, they don't have bar of soap there. It's out of the squeeze bottle. So even if you miss, you just go get a fresh shot.
I think it was looking for some Jeffrey Dahmer action or something, looking to take you back to his place and play nurse with you or play doctor.
Again, ladies, I want to apologize for our actions. All right, I never got
our actions. I had nothing to do with this. You know, I didn't go to the fucking gym with you. Our actions. This is yours
for a while.
This is you.
You know, we can be tough to deal with, but on the inside, we're good. Just a little too forward at times.
Hey, a woman likes a man that that opens up and is honest, you know. So, you know, don't apologize, okay? I mean, if you were just someone who kept everything to themselves, you know, women be like, this guy's got small balls. I want this guy to, you know, hit it from the back with me. So I want someone with big balls, who can hit that clit every time, you know.
Smack it.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, that was this guy. Oh man, he even made a comment as I was getting out of town. Now you're nice and trim. Yeah, you see you're fit there.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. I know, pal. I know you offered up some dick. Thanks. I already realized I already realized.
No.
Thanks. I don't need you to tell me again.
Jeez.
One time was plenty. I'm plenty flattered for this, but fun weekend though, man. Hey, good to see you though, dude. Good
I know, man. You. It's together you here. Know,
a few little things going on, winding up for the holidays here. It's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, man. You know, speaking of, you know, kind of we're kind of on the dating and sex topic, man. You
holidays,
a couple
man,
of
brings it out of people.
Yeah, a couple of episodes ago, I advertised that Slim was newly single, and he created a Plenty of Fish. He created a Plenty of Fish.
Profile.
Sorry, I
POF well, for you home gamers. Not yes. POS is what, which is what I usually get called. But
yeah,
POF.
Well, he is a piece of shit. And he, but no, he finally got a response, and he hasn't responded back yet. But he will, and next week's show, we will follow up on that.
Yeah, you know, we'll talk all about it. You know, to keep the puns going here. On Plenty of Fish, you could say I've been getting a few nibbles.
Really?
Just some nibbles here, but we'll let you guys know all about that next time. So stick with us. But thanks for listening, guys. Another episode here. We're still working on it. Give us your ideas. Let us know what's going on for the holidays here. And keep listening. And hey, if you can, if you enjoyed it, tell a friend about us. You know, you're the best thing we got at this point, and we need every single one of you guys, and we love you for listening, and thanks for tuning us again. I'm Slim. This is my man Shoddy over
Shoddy
here.
Shoddy O'Neal.
And hey, we're out. Listen to us next week, guys. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you later.
Thanks for joining Shoddy and Slim on an earful in the Emerald City. Hope you survived this torture. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join us next time and tell your friends about the show.